God bless each one this morning. Thank you, Brother Jay, for those thoughts. All those men, it's a sad story. All those men that discouraged the rest of them. Well, this morning I wish I would be better at making riddles, because I have a question for you to start with. And I couldn't come up with a riddle about it, so I'm just going to ask you simply. And it just came from Henry Ramos. What is something that we do every day? That's a lot of answers for that question. What is it? Breathe. Very good. What else? Eat? Sleep? Okay, let me add a little bit to the question. Some outcomes of these things that we do have no impacts, and some things have big sometimes it has big impacts. What could it be? Sometimes it doesn't have much of an impact, but sometimes it does have big impacts. Our thoughts? That's a good one, Bro Jay. Our speech? Very good. That's right. That's what I was looking for. Decisions. The title for this message this morning is Making Wise Decisions. And I have 10 points I would like to share with you. And I'm going to ask Vince and maybe Sister Teresa can pass these papers to this side. Making wise decisions. I was so bad, I could be better at this. While the papers are being passed, I will tell you that I have difficulty in this area of making decisions, especially wise decisions. And finally, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to study a little bit. Maybe I can find some help for myself about this. And making wise decisions. There should be enough papers for any of the children that know how to write and read to have one. I think I made about 60 copies. So I decided to study into this subject. And hopefully I can learn, maybe make it easier for me, on making wiser decisions. But that is amazing to me, the thought. Did everybody get a paper? Okay. That we go through life making decisions. Even children start making decisions, what they want to eat and what they don't want to eat, what they want to wear, not want to wear, what bicycle they want, and so forth. Now, what are two decisions, the most important decisions that you will make in life? Two of them. What are they? Repent. That's the biggest decision, the most important decision that you will make in life, whether you will repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ or not. And what is the second one? Where will you spend eternity? Which that is tied with that one. Because if you don't repent, Okay, in my case, it came 13 years ago. Decided who to marry. That is a very important decision. And there's no repentance about that one. I guess you could repent, but the Bible doesn't allow you to repent of that one. So that was one thought. But I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about everyday life. We have decisions to make. And I thought about just drawing a picture here on the board, but I don't think I'm going to do it. But just think about it through life. You go through life. You are a son of God. You're trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many decisions that come. I'm just amazed at how many decisions there are to be made. So the goal for the message this morning is to make decisions that are wise and right, and to repent of those that are not wise and right. So I like that quote that Brother Jay shared with us, that, you know, we influence other people. We can repent if we were wrong, but we cannot make other people to repent of the influence that we already made. That's pretty scary. So in life, there's many decisions to be made. And I wish I could have the ability or the gift of making the right decisions every time. But so many times I have to go back and say, you know what? I did the wrong thing. I need to do better next time. And we'll go through these principles here, these decisions. And I will tell you, I did not come up with this. I found them somewhere while I was thinking about it. I had a couple things I wanted to share with you. And when I was looking for this kind of thing or decision making, I came across this list and I loved it. I said, you know what, I'm going to just share it. And I did put the principal word or the main word at the beginning. And I kind of added that part of what these questions, maybe I tweaked the question somewhat sometimes. I edited it. But anyway, let's start. How do we make wise decisions? And remember, I'm talking about general decisions. I'm not talking about repent. You need to repent. You need to become, I'm not even talking about marriage. I thought about preaching a message on marriage since it's our 13th anniversary tomorrow, but for some reason I didn't. So here is the message for this morning. Remember, this is daily decisions. Some are having bigger impact, some don't have big impacts in our lives, but you will face decisions every day. The first one, we need to keep in mind what biblical principles should inform my decisions. Whenever you face with a decision, you need to think about what principles of God's word apply to me in this situation. Let me give you a few principles. This is the main thing you need to remember. And I'm going to quote a lot from Proverbs. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You want to make wise decisions? Where does wisdom come from? It says it comes from the mouth of the Lord. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And where do we find the words of God? Anybody? The Bible, exactly. Thank you very much. We don't have Jeremiah anymore when the Lord told him to go to the potter's house and he gave the word of the Lord came upon me or came to me. We have the word of God. Is there something in the word of God that would help me in this decision? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. There you have another. Principles of God's word. In every decision, you can ask God to direct you. Do you ask God whenever you're trying to decide whether to spank Junior or not? Those are tough decisions sometimes. They did something. Does he deserve corporal punishment? Does he deserve only skip dessert? Or what? You have to decide. And you can breathe a prayer and say, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. And then you do what I guess you feel appropriate to do. And hopefully these points can help us determine what to do. 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is probably the main verse I quoted at the bottom there. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think, in my opinion, and I think it probably from the Bible, this should be the main goal of our lives. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, everything we go in life, every decision should be glorify God. To glorify God, whatsoever you do, do it, do all to the glory of God. So whenever you're facing a decision, you need to ask the question, am I going to be able to glorify God through this or not? Now, I know some decisions don't have much of an impact at the surface value anyway. And maybe I was thinking more of those things, not of the bigger things. There's other principles in God's word, like 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? If you will have an offer to go in partnership with a worldly person, should you do it? We don't have business, okay? You're going to go buy a mechanic shop or whatever, and you're going to go in partnership with him, somebody that is not a Christian. Should you do it? And then you say, what is the biblical principles? And the Bible said, don't be equally yoked together. I could tell you a story of somebody that did and did not end it up well. But we don't have the time. But just think about it. There's principles. Proverbs 22:17 talks about borrowing money. Do you know there's God principles in the Word of God about borrowing money? It says that the borrower is a servant to the lender. That it doesn't say it's wrong, but just so you know, if you're going to borrow money, you're going to become a servant to whoever lend you the money. That is a Bible principle. So you're willing to become a servant? Sure. Okay, great. God bless you. And go borrow the money. But there's Bible principles to make decisions. And of course, it's Philippians 4 verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things. On these things. We could preach a whole sermon on that. You know, that's a good filter. Is it going to be honest? If a decision, you're facing a decision and you say, is it honest? Well, it's kind of sneaky. It's not, might be honest. Well, then there you have it. There you have a Bible principle, biblical principle. What is the principle? That is the first thing that we want to think about. What does the Bible have to say about this decision? And if you don't know, could you go? Do you know anybody that could help you better understand what God's word says about this decision? And we're going to get to that a little later in number 6 of asking advice. So we'll save that for later. The second one, you're facing a decision. And this one is probably more whenever we're trying to decide for other people. Well, for us as well. But I was thinking more, okay, in the school board. In the school board, we have this all the time. Every time we get together for a school board, there's decisions to be made, right? Somebody has to decide this. This is what's happening. The teacher is facing this. A student is acting like this or whatever. So what do we decide about this? So the first thing we need to do is get all the facts. That's what number 2 says. Do I have all the facts? Listen to what Proverbs says. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Before he heareth it. If you come to a school board decision or any decision, I'm just giving a school board as an example. You can do this in your own decisions as well. If you come and you have your mind and say this should be done without hearing the matter, he said it is a folly unto him. It's a lack of common sense. You have to get all the facts first to see what is happening, who said what. Did you verify that information that he or she said that? Proverbs 18:17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Let me read it on a different version. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Do you get it? You're going to think you're right until you present it. And maybe the neighbor is going to come and search it and analyze it. So what should we do? We need to ask questions. When somebody says something, do what Papa Sim does. Ask it in a question, make sure he understood it. Or you understood it. And don't fall prey to wishful thinking or let your emotions get the best of you. And I have seen this over and over in my own life. This is probably the most important one for me in this list here. Do I have all the facts? It's very easy to let our emotions get the best of us. How we feel about it. Who said it? Why did they say it? And all those things. And then we make a decision based on emotionalism instead of facts. I was talking to someone once upon a time about making a decision. And he was telling me that I didn't know how it feels. In other words, since I didn't have the experience, I guess I couldn't help him make a decision because I didn't know how he felt. When in reality, sometimes, this is my opinion, when in reality, sometimes we need advice from someone that hasn't been through it so they can have the facts instead of just emotions. And remember, my mom used to say, there's always two sides to every story. Whenever you try to make a decision, especially in school board or whatever, dealing with two different parties, make sure you get the facts and make sure you get two sides of the story. There's always two stories, two sides to the story. But please, let's make sure we understand that point. It's very easy and simple to go by feelings and emotions instead of taking the facts of the story. Number three, time. Is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? And this is a very hard one for me because I like to think my way through things. But sometimes we do need to make a decision on the spot. And we need to make a decision the best we can. But if it's a very important decision, we should not make it because of the pressure of the moment. Proverbs 19:2 says, also that the soul be without knowledge is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Can you imagine that? If you're prone to haste, you're going to end up sinning. Now I'm sure you're going to fall into other traps whenever you hasten. Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty hasteth only to want. You have seen that examples of people that kind of do things in a hurry. They probably don't do it right, and then they're going to break stuff. They're going to run engines without oil, whatever, just because they didn't have time to check them. Beware. This is my advice here. Beware of the once-in-a-lifetime deal and the lure of instant gratification. Salesmen are very good at this. They want you to put you on the spot, put pressure on the time so you can buy what they're selling. And you remember that salesman at the expo, the sales knives, right? He says he got a good deal of all these kind of knives. And he said, since it's the expo 2020 or 2019, he said, we're going to give all these knives. And since this is the first day of the expo, we're going to throw an extra knife here and then another gadget. And instead of making it for $30 for the first five customers that come up with $20 bill, you can have it. Right? And everybody's getting their $20 bill out to get it, right? beware. Now, some of those things are, it's okay. Some of those knives are good knives. I bought one time and my wife loved them. So I got lucky on that one. Don't let the fear of missing out drive your decision. Again, salesmen operate on these premises. They say, you know what? If you don't buy this vehicle today, this thing is going to be gone tomorrow. And you're like, you really want that pickup truck. It has just the right color interior, just the right kind of wheels and tires. Something is telling you you shouldn't get it, but if I wait, it's going to be gone. Right? Well, my dad used to say, you know what? If God wants me to buy that vehicle, buy that one, it's going to be there tomorrow. So I'm going to wait. Think through it and wait. When in doubt, leave it out. When in doubt, leave it out. Make sure you take your time on making the right decisions. Ask the right questions. Number four, what is another help for making wise decisions? Number four is motives. What possible motives are driving my decision? Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. You're going to think you have clean motives. You're going to think you're doing the right thing. But make sure you search your heart and you let God search it. What is your motive to buying what you want to buy? What is your motive to go where you want to go? What is your motive? And this is our reality. We need to be very careful of having motives, the right kind of motives. We really do. I'm sure decisions are, like I told you already, they're difficult for me to make. And I'll tell you one of them that I thought I was going to bring it up a little bit later. I will bring it up later. But one of the toughest decisions for me is to how much should I go away for preaching assignments. And even in that, I could have the wrong motive. I sure could. It's a very good thing to preach the word of God. It's working in the kingdom of God. But I could have the wrong motive. You could have the wrong motive on a lot of good things. You can even have the wrong motive for getting married. So make sure you get the right motives. Acknowledge that you have blind spots. This is hard for all of us to acknowledge that we cannot see ourselves. How many times we see this over and over on other people, that they cannot see themselves. But how many times do we see it in ourselves that we cannot see ourselves? Honestly assess your motives, both good and bad. Give others permission to speak into your life. Again, that's number six. And keep in mind that you cannot please everybody. It's good to get advice from others, and I'm jumping number six. You cannot please everybody. It would be a good thing that we could. And that is just probably one of the hardest things for me to learn, is that the fact that I cannot please everybody. I wish I could please everybody. I talk to people and they give good advice. I wish I could just do it like he said, like they said, like she said, like he said, and everybody would be happy. Well, I can't do it. Okay, number five, experience. How should past experience inform my decision? Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Okay? A dog, if we compare ourselves like a dog and it throw up, a dog threw up and it goes and eats it, right? That's very gross. We make a mistake and we go back and do it again. Did we learn? I don't think we did if we went and did it again. What caused it? What went wrong that I had to throw up? I don't want to do that again. So you try to adjust that. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Learn from your mistakes. The other day we were doing something, I said, well, I guess we have to live and learn. And somebody said, well, we mostly live. We didn't learn anything. Live and learn. Live and learn. But that's what we need to do. We need to live and learn from our mistakes. And I know I wish I could make all the wise and right decisions. But in life, let me tell you something. You will not get it right the first time, every time. There are going to be some decisions that you're going to have to just make a decision and let's do it this way. And guess what? Something went wrong. Well, you learn for the next time. So I'm hoping I'm not getting you scared of my making decisions. Some things you just don't see the outcome. And you're just going to have to do something. And then maybe as you're doing it, then you have to adjust some of your course of action. And in this past experience informed my decision, I would like to point something here. Understand how your family background might affect your thinking. Do you know that I make decisions sometimes without knowing the same way that my parents did? Do you know that? Because of my background, I have made decisions that you probably would have made them differently. But I made them because of my background. So understand how that works. You're going to have a potential because of your background. That's not bad. That's a good thing. Hopefully you had a good background. But in the same token, I would like to say this. That keep in mind that we are reactionary creatures. Your family background affects you tremendously and also our reaction to it as well. You see what I'm saying? Let's give you an example right quick. In 1986, 87, 88, I can hardly remember, but my dad had a pickup truck, a light blue Isuzu pickup truck. I was just a little boy. That's the truck I jumped off and crossed the road in front of a car. The car hit me. I was riding that pickup truck. My dad had made some racks. A welder, of course. He took it to a welder and made some racks for the back. And he had loops at a 5/8 rebar, smooth rebar. And the loops went every 2 or 3 feet. And there was a tarp over it to cover it. Johnny probably remember it by now. And these racks, my dad sold the pickup truck without those arches. And he put them by the shed. Okay? Here in July, we went for his wedding. Guess where those things are? They're still by the shed. And the guy came buying, there was two guys that came buying scrap metal. And I was glad to help Dad clean up, you know. Dad, here are these things, we need to sell them. You haven't used them in 30 years. Oh, no, I got plans for them. Oh, okay. Well, it's taking 30 years to come up with plans for those things. Now, I know I'm not making fun of my dad. I'm just showing you. His background was poverty. You don't waste anything. You save everything that you possibly can. Okay? And now I am here, and I am tempted to react to that. And say, why would I save something for 30 years that I will never use it? Throw it away. And then 2 weeks later, I'm looking for it. And I'm like, oh, no, I threw it away. So you see what I'm saying? Decisions are affected by your background or a reaction to your background. So find the balance in all those things. Maybe how your dad would do it is the best way to do it. Or maybe somewhere in between. Just think about those things. Well, number six, advice. What is the collective counsel of my community? In Proverbs, again, speaks about this, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. That's amazing. Where there's no counsel, the people will fall. Proverbs 18:1 says, He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. He who separates himself, I think this is a different version that I'm using here. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. He does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. I hope, brothers and sisters, that we can grasp to make wise decisions, we need advice. And I know we can't get on the phone every time and say, hey, Brother Leroy, what will you do in this situation? Brother Ornan, what do you think about this? Every decision. I know you can't do that. Some things you just have to live and learn, I guess. But ask advice when you possibly can. The dumbest question is the one that you didn't ask. Okay, sometimes we get scared of asking questions. Well, that sounds dumb. Why would I ask Brother Cole whether I should study Ezekiel or Psalms? Well, that might be a dumb question, but the dumbest question is the one that you did not ask, okay? You ask questions. You need to know. Ask it if you don't know it. Remember, that is your decision. I want to throw this one on here. I kind of brought this point in earlier, but remember that this is your decision. You are responsible. I hope that through these principles, through these helps to making wise choices or decisions, you get a hold of this truth that is your decision. I know I'm emphasizing a lot of different things, but you are the one responsible. You cannot make other people liable for your decisions. But you are responsible to come up with your own decision. You don't want them to make decisions for you, but you can get their input. I'm talking about decisions that you have to make. Like, again, I was going to bring this up. How often should I go away for preaching assignments? I have seek advice from many people. I have asked different preachers how you do it, how many times you go. And you know what they all tell me? They give me an advice. They give me good advice. But when it comes down to it, say, that's a decision between you, God, and your wife. They throw it back on me. And I was hoping they'll give me a nice, amount. You go one time here, one time there, and done. But everybody tells me different. You see what I'm saying? Somebody even told me, I should never go away until my children are grown. And I do get their concern. I do get their concern. What good would it do to go preach revivals if I lose my family doing so? But on the other hand, God did call me to do this. So what do I do? Get input. But that way you can get an educated decision. And I will throw this yet. In this about asking advice, I will have a word for those giving advice. For those of you that give advice to someone asking for it, please don't take it personal if they didn't take your advice as you gave it. Don't take it personal. Or they didn't decide the way you told them to, but you did influence them. You see, you ask advice from four different people. Or 5 or 10, whatever. You're going to get 4 or 5 or 10 or whatever different answers. or how to do it. So what you're doing is you're basically educating yourself. Okay, they will do it this way. He will do it that way. She will do it like this. So you take all those together and you all those things together and you make your own decision. It's not going to be like he or she said it. So please, if you are he or she giving advice, don't take it personal. You see what I'm saying? Don't say, well, if they're not going to follow my advice, I'm not going to give it to them again. No, you did influence them. I have been influenced many times asking advice, even though maybe I didn't do it like you told me to. But that didn't mean that I didn't take in consideration. It made me think and whatever. Number 7, warnings. Have I honestly considered the warning signs? He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. There are warning signs, there are alarms, there are red flags that come up. Are you taking heed to them? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't think you are an exception to the rule. And remember that God's way is the best way. Take heed of those warning signs. Have I considered, number 8, the outcome? We have to finish this here. The outcome. Have I considered the possible outcomes for my course of action? The simple, Proverbs 14:15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Looketh well to his going. You get that? See, the world and the devil wants us to just go haphazardly through life. Whatever comes, whatever. They don't even think ahead. They don't even think how this action is going to affect the future. And that is the difference between a prudent man and a wise man with a fool. A wise person is going to stop and examine his going. How is this going to affect me? What is the possible outcomes? Do the long math, he says. We're lazy in math, right? Children, you enjoy math? Those long problems. Long problems. And sometimes we just want 2 by 2. I mean, 2 plus 2. That's all we want to do. We're in 10th grade and, teacher, can we just have simple sums, single digits here? No, you got some big problems, and you have to do the long math. That's the same way you have to do it in life. How is this going to affect me for the future? Assess the potential risk. What are the risks? And with this, I will counter it with the thought to make a decision. Okay? Sometimes we can be paralyzed by fear. I can tend to be that way. I think that buying time is my friend. And they, again, in my decision about going to preaching other places, they said, I'll give you a couple of days to think about it. Okay, thank you. And they usually have to call me back because I don't give them an answer. 2 weeks later, say, hey, I haven't heard from you. What are you thinking? I'm like, phew. I thought by buying time, it would be my friend. And it comes to the point, you have to make a decision. Don't be paralyzed by fear. That's my point. Okay? There are going to be decisions that you will have to make. And sometimes, in my case, it has been like, okay, I have to make a decision. I got all these things the best possible way I could. And I'm going to make a decision. I made a decision, and then something went wrong. So you learn for the next time. Okay, I'm repeating some of those things already. Number 9, integrity. Could this decision compromise my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord? A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Let me read it like this. Like another version here, like a trampled spring in a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. before who gives way, there's some things that you cannot compromise. I'm going to skip some of these things here. You cannot compromise on these things. And number 10, the impact. Is there a better option that would allow me to make a greater impact for God's kingdom? Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Ask yourself this question. What story could God be writing about me? Don't assume that just because something is hard, that is not God's will. Matter of fact, I have found that a lot of times, what is the hardest decision or the hardest option is usually the right thing to do. Now, I'm not saying every time you face a decision, you just say, what is the hardest thing to do, and that will be the right one. Maybe sometimes will be the easier way. But most times, whenever we talk about decisions that compromise integrity or not, or will we greater impact for God's kingdom, possibly, the hardest thing to do is going to be the right thing to do. Don't be scared of that. Don't be scared of that. Understand how God has uniquely gifted and resourced you. So, are you ready to make decisions? Life is full of decisions, little and small, every day. Every day, are you ready to make decisions? I hope that you can learn. You have learned something. I sure have. I know this list is not inclusive. I'm sure there's a lot of more points that you could give. I wish we could have a study right now and have 30 minutes of questions and answers. Not that I have the answer, but you can answer your own questions too. But for the sake of time, we're going to leave it like this. God bless you as you make decisions that glorify God. Whatsoever you do, do it for the glory of God. God bless you.